Is it going?
Hello.
Hi. It's going. I feel really weird that I don't have any arms on my arm chair.
Do you want the chair with the arms?
No, I don't really need
Yeah, because I don't use them.
But I feel...
I feel naked.
It feels weird.
Like you've lost a part of you.
Like I'm sitting on a bench or something. But then it's moving.
Like at any point you could just teeter over the side and fall.
That's how I feel, unsteady. How are you?
Good.
Feeling better?
Feeling so much better. That's my good. God, it feels like it's been forever. I mean, I know we did mystery minutes last week, but it feels like forever since I've heard a mystery.
Yeah.
Because I did the last one.
Yes.
And then we've had a week off.
Yes.
And now here we are.
Here we are. It was so long ago that we did it.
I need them constantly in my life. I understand how everyone feels.
Yeah.
I need them weekly in my life.
Yeah, I think I was filling in the void yesterday. I did housework and I listened to My Favorite Murder and then like three case files. Mm. I was doing housework all day. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that's a lot of housework. But, how do you have that much housework to do?
I hadn't done any for a while. I haven't done anything in ages. But Julian's been kind of carrying the load.
Yeah.
And I had a little bit of energy and I just felt like I hadn't contributed in, how many weeks am I? 18 weeks. So I did it all.
Just like a strong 4 months of washing and
vacuuming. And then I kind of scared myself with case file. So I turned it off.
I change my sheets every week.
Yeah.
Which, like, my sister thinks I'm insane. A lot of people think I'm insane.
Yeah.
But I have a real thing, as everyone, I don't know if everyone knows this, but a lot of people know that I have a thing about showering at night.
Oh, yeah.
And how it's like absolutely demonic to not shower at night.
Yeah, definitely. But
also, I have another thing on top of that, like another layer of aggressive, you know, cleanliness, which is that I need to shower at night and then I also need to change my sheets every week because I feel like even though I'm getting in crispy clean every single night,
yeah,
I still feel like it's full of dead skin cells after a week. I'm just disgusted by it.
Fortnightly, right?
I don't know.
I feel like a week is not that aggressively insane.
And I'm not like a night sweater or like a tosser and turner. I just don't like it. I'm like, now it feels dirt. As soon as that seventh day clocks over, I'm like, this is a disgusting cesspit of skin and hair. And I hate it.
There's nothing nicer than getting into a clean bed either.
I also wear full pajamas to bed. There's no logic to my full
Look, I think there's worse washing. Like quirks to have in life. You could be the opposite and have a quirk that means you only change them once a year.
Oh, my God.
That would be disgusting.
Like any boy that is single.
Yuck.
You were going to tell me a funny, weren't you?
Yeah, so I decided to – I haven't done this for a while, Mel. Read our reviews.
I know. I haven't read our reviews for a while, so I'm, like, excited about this.
I don't know why the thought, the feeling, the urge – came over me, but I decided to look. We have so many nice ones. You know, we've been doing this for a year.
I can't believe that is insane to me. And happy like anniversary. Upsetting. It's actually upsetting.
Why?
Well, where's the year gone? Where is it? I don't, what have I got to show for
you
it?
You went on a huge trip.
I went on a trip. That's done now.
it's just over.
It's just gone.
But you can show that you did it.
I know, but it's like, I feel like in a year I need to have like won a Nobel Prize really unfair that I haven't.
That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
I don't know what a Nobel Prize is. Can you win it as a writer? Not for the stuff I write.
Yeah, there's a Nobel Prize for literature.
Okay. Well, I feel like in a year if you could say, well, I won the Nobel Prize, then you've done a great job. Congratulations on using those 365 days well. As somebody who went on a trip for 4 months and... That's pretty much all I have accomplished in a
year. We've made many episodes of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the podcast is a bright light in a sort of dingy, sad year of nothing. But that's okay. It's so good. I'm excited that it's been a year.
Yeah, that was a real downer.
Oh, my God. That's like the time. Okay, so this is just to shame somebody in our team. But on Friday... our colleague Brad shared this link in our like an office chat. It's almost like a messenger chat, but for everyone in the office, and it's for work. But sometimes like funny things are just shared, and we thought it was going to be like a nice Friday funny because it was like 4 p.m. You know,
that's right.
And then it was some story, and I don't even know what the point of the story was at all. I just saw this really cute dog,
yeah,
like a gorgeous Staffy, like one of those beautiful so little baby cute faces. And then the story was like, poor sweet like Timmy the Staffy has died. It wasn't like a bad death; it was just like an old age death or something. But it was just like this sad.
But wasn't like, that like because of Brexit?
Oh, I don't know.
It was actually really bizarre. It was like, my dog's died because of Brexit, because I can't look after him and fight Brexit at the same time.
Which is, that's more pardon depressing me, even than what I thought it was going to be.
So it was not only depressing, it was also bizarre. And we were like, thanks, Brad.
Like, it was just like the biggest downer on a Friday. Didn't say anything. There wasn't even any context. No. He just shared it and left.
Yeah.
Literally left the building.
And we were all like, cool.
And I was like, I feel great now. But I don't want to think about cute dogs dying. I want
to
think
that maybe it was just like, the person was trying to make a statement about Brexit and maybe the dog didn't actually die.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I'd like to believe that too.
I put it out of my mind because it was too upsetting.
Poor Timmy. Poor, it wasn't called
poor
Timmy.
Poor little Timmy.
Timmy's the worst name for a dog too. I don't even know what I've... Anyway, continue.
So I was looking at these reviews. Some of them are really nice, but then I've just found a mean one, which I didn't see on the weekend because we posted it on Saturday. That's not the one I want to talk about. This was like a middling review, three okay stars.
I love a middling review.
Get to the point. Great podcast. So you're like, okay. But seriously, guys, 15 to 20 minutes of talking about your lives or your Facebook group or whatever before you even get to your subject is really frustrating. I turn episodes off because of it, just saying. Might be better to keep it to 5 minutes preamble. Like, would they call it in comedy? A tight five. Yeah.
Look, I don't think they're wrong.
But this is the bit that got me.
Okay.
Also, one of you always has a really dry mouth.
Oh, no.
And all I can hear is the clicking noise that it causes, and it's really distracting / off-putting. Like, doll, it's a bodily function we can't control.
I just think we need to let that go now. Everyone's just going to have to let the mouth noises go.
I'm just like, you're actually saying one of us has a dry mouth, so that's like – something we can't really
like what are you control supposed to do? Like,
would you rather us just be drinking water the entire time and keep stopping to pee?
And like then you'd have the noises of like water going down someone's right now gob. Mm-hmm. Josie's literally got the water at her mouth
like that.
Like, what's better here?
And like, I don't know which one of us he's referring to, so I'm like, is it me? Do I need to drink water the entire time?
Who is it?
The person's called Universe City.
Okay, that's a weird name.
I just assumed it was a guy. That was sexist of me.
It could be anyone. In that case, it actually could be anybody. I love that they've given us this sort of time frame where we're allowed to
a tight blather five on, yeah,
but just not for longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah,
which I'm not entirely averse to.
No, me neither.
Which we kind of aim for, but then it just sort of goes beyond.
Sometimes it blows out. Sorry, University.
We're also clearly both blatherers. We just blather on about it's nothing always
do. Yeah,
it's kind of expected. I still love a middling review though. Yeah, they're my favorite. Bad reviews are funny sometimes when people don't get the point.
Yeah.
Great reviews are obviously they're the perfect ones because you get it, love us, and then came on to share that you loved us so that other people could find
that's
us so they can love
thing,
it
yeah.
That was a hint to go and review us. Five-star iTunes, five-star.
Well, we're back up to 4.5 because we've had a lot of good reviews.
Yeah.
Because people are finally getting it.
I think so. And I think people also, once you get it, you're like, I want to go leave a review.
Yes.
It's like how I've done that with podcasts before. I'm like, I want to like give a review so this keeps going and doesn't die in the butt.
So please
die
do
in the
that
butt is the weirdest phrase. I don't want to go down a whole path about this. I just want to just note, I've been saying it more lately.
Mm.
An old family friend of my parents used to say it all the time around like me, not around me personally, just but just
around
in life.
Around.
And it doesn't make any sense. Mm. Like, is it like,
and then if you think about it, it's disturbing.
Well, I think it's implied. I think it might be some sort of ye olde thing. This is just me making it up where things died from like butt diseases. Like, you know how like you have to cut off lamb tails cause they get the flies and then they get fly swat or whatever.
What?
Yeah, like farms, that's why they cut off lamb tails because the lambs get like a fly disease or like a poo disease called like fly rot or like fly swat or something. And it's like humane to cut their tails off because then they won't catch the horrible thing and then they won't die in the butt.
Die
maybe
in the butt, yeah.
We don't know, but maybe. that's the reason.
You know what saying freaks Julian out, and I say it sometimes, fuck me dead.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, if you think about that, oh, it's that's really terrible. Disturbing. I say it too.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
That's a we all know what that means.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
But it's just like, you never say it in context. You're just like, oh, fuck me dead, it's hot. And then it's just like, oh, if you think about it, it's super disturbing.
But I don't like to think about it.
Don't think about it. Don't die in the butt.
Great attitude to life. Don't die in the butt.
Don't get fucked to death.
Everyone, don't get fucked to death or die in the butt. That would be what we would like for all of you.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the middling reviews. My favorite thing about a middling review is it doesn't make any sense. It's sort of like you're saying, this is a mediocre thing that I think is mediocre.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I feel the need to tell everyone about it being mediocre.
It's weird to be prompted then to say something, because if something's mediocre, you're just kind of like, yeah, like I don't hate it enough to be passionate or love it enough to sing it from a rooftop. It's just, eh.
It's just here.
So, like, and 3 stars is better than 2 stars. So they still gave us 3 stars but then just complained.
It's so
It's just
odd.
Bizarre. I just don't understand people.
But it's fine.
Pardon me.
Totally fine.
It's fine. I just thought I'd read it out.
I loved it.
Because I hadn't for a while, and it's the real mouth noises one. But in happier news, I wanted to give a shout out to someone from the group.
Yeah.
Because a couple of weeks ago they posted this. This is the All Is a Mystery Hour Facebook group.
Which we got in trouble. You didn't want to talk about. We got in trouble for talking about.
If you want to join the group, there's a lot of other listeners in there, and they talk about true crime, but they also talk about this podcast specifically. And this guy, Ricky, from our group, posted that he asked a question. Does anyone else say bye at the end when we say bye? Which was so funny because we're always like, oh, we don't have like a cool sign off, like stay sexy or anything like that. Yeah. We're like, we don't have like a cool sign off. And then the first one, we didn't know what to do with ourselves. And so we're just like, that's it. Bye. And then that became our thing, for want of a better thing. And now it's such a thing that he was like, he always goes, we go, bye, bye. And he goes, bye. And
I'm
then
obsessed.
All these other people were like, yes, I do it. Like I'm standing in the kitchen. I just say to no one, bye. I just love that image.
And then wasn't he saying how, or somebody said it was really off-putting when Matt said see ya or like henna, and they've all fucked it. All of our guests have fucked it. Because we don't tell them, to be fair. We don't actually say.
Yes.
Also, you've got to sign off by saying
them
bye.
Out. We like to catch them out. And then in Mystery Minutes,
to follow.
See ya.
It's clearly bye, bye.
Yeah.
Bye, not see you later. Or
they're like, catch ya. It's just like, no.
Anyway.
But I thought that was cute. So shout out to Ricky.
Thanks, Ricky.
I promised I'd shout him out. So he's happy right now. He's going to say bye with more enthusiasm than ever for this episode.
He'll scream it out his car window.
Bye. Well, I think that's enough preamble.
That was a strong 13 minutes
of
preamble.
Sorry, Mystic Universe.
I think that's almost a record for us, weirdly, because I didn't feel like that was long. But anyway, what are we doing?
Well, I think it's only going to be a short mystery, so that's why I was fine with some preamble.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you. It's a local hometown one for me.
Loves a newy mystery.
It's the story of Frank Newberry. So I have some credits, which we're doing with much enthusiasm now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an article published in the Northern Star by Nathan Jolly on the 14th of October 2018. There's a Sydney Morning Herald article by David Braithwaite from March 14, 2007. Newcastle Herald, you! I just did Shackers for anyone wondering. By Stephen Ryan, August 23, 2012. And an ABC Newcastle article by Giselle Wakatama, which I love that name, 13th of March 2017. So I'll put those links in the episode description so you can read them yourself. They did a lot more research than me. So Frank Newberry was an icon if you're from Newcastle. A lot of people knew who he was.
Why?
I'm going to tell you.
You're going to tell me.
That's the end. End of the case.
I'm not going to
give you any explanation. Frank was an icon.
Frank was an icon, the end.
So he lived and worked in the Newcastle suburb of Cooks Hill. And a bit of context for you, the Sydney person.
Yeah.
Cook's Hills like Surrey Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked our Melbourne person, Lavender, who listens to the podcast, because she has also lived in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I was like, she thinks maybe like Fitzroy.
Okay. That so would make sense with the Surrey Hills reference.
Yeah.
That's the only area I really know of Melbourne.
Yeah. So the vibe is
and
like...
Docklands.
We love Docklands. So it's kind of close to the city. It's got that working class history.
Yes.
But then it's because it's close to the city, it's become sought after.
Yeah.
And like gentrified.
Mm-hmm.
So like your terrace buildings and nice cafes, but like a bit of a gritty underside as well. So Frank was a World War II veteran, and after the war was over, he opened Frank's Ham and Beef.
Oh.
A small corner store. I don't know why he called it Frank's Ham and Beef.
Just call it a butcher.
Because he actually sold just groceries what? And like made sandwiches okay. and stuff.
That's very misleading yeah. as a shop front.
Maybe, I'm thinking maybe at first, maybe it was
just ham and beef.
Just meat. Okay. And then he extended it to be like other grocery things and just the name stuck. But he bought it outright because he'd done a stint in the Navy and he had enough money. This is according to David Braithwaite's article. He saved up enough to just buy it and he lived upstairs as well.
Oh, nice one.
So different articles had different dates, whether he bought it in 1949 or 1951.
I don't think it matters, does it?
Old-timey.
Old-timey.
So around the same time he met a lady named Eleanor. The two got married and she worked alongside him for decades in the shop and she passed away in 1989. So Frank opened the store 5 days a week from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. So he lived upstairs and every morning he'd come down like clockwork and he had the sign on the door and he'd switch it from closed to open and then he'd work there all day for decades. So he became really well known in the area. He was super friendly. He was really helpful. He remembered everybody's names, regulars, not like if you went in there once, he wouldn't be like, tell me your name. I'm going to remember it forever. But even if you're a new customer, like... anyone that came in, he'd always sing out and say hello and be super friendly like when you walked in.
Like one of those, I know exactly this type of shop owner. Yeah.
So sweet.
And they're like eternally old.
Yes.
Like they've been old since the dawn of time.
So all the photos of him, even from like 40 years ago, he still looked old.
Yeah.
And he actually got the nickname Old Frank.
Oh my God,
so
amazing.
I just think he was always old. He had a grocery delivery service as part of the business and he'd actually like bring the groceries over and put them away for like elderly people in their cupboards.
You fucking angel.
Yeah, he was an angel. Even though he was also elderly, he'd help elderly people.
Oh my God, and his arthritis would be hurting anyway.
He'd be all like stooped over, shuffling around.
Like I broke a bone while I was putting that milk carton in there, but I'm doing it because you would break two bones.
Yeah, sweet. So he was
so nice.
He was known for he made really good sandwiches and they were kind of like, it's residential, but it's also on the fringe of the city. So there's a few offices around. There's like the head office of Newcastle Permanent, which is like a big bank in Newcastle. So people would come every day and get their lunch from him for like 20 years.
Mm. And they would just watch the price go up and up and up. Like 20 cent sandwich for like $20 today. Yeah. Thank you.
For like a gourmet pastrami.
Now we're doing sun-dried tomato. The price has gone up exponentially.
You know, avos are expensive this time of year.
Oh my God.
$16.
Remember how avos did that and it was like, the price went up and then everyone charged like $6 for avo and now they just left it and it's like, bitch, I know that avos are not that expensive anymore.
I hate when you get breakfast and it's like, if you want to add avo, it's $4.50.
Yes.
I'm like, I could go and buy two avos for $4.50 and put it on my plate myself.
Imagine if you did start doing that.
That's something my dad would do.
Brought an avo.
My dad
just
would
like
do
cut
that.
It up over your breakfast just and like looked pointedly at the chef as you did it.
I wonder if they'd kick you out.
I feel like they'd be too awkward.
Yeah, I think they would. I think sometimes you got to flex as hard as
I'm
you can.
Do it.
Because people aren't going to match that level of flex. They're just going to let you go.
They're just going to be like, I'm scared of you.
Terrified of you and your DIY. BYO. BYO.
DIY. And DIY.
And
BYO / DIY avocado slicing.
So back to Frank.
Mm.
In 2001. The council tried to demolish his store.
No!
To make way for a car park entrance.
Oh my God, fuck you.
But the community was so against it, like everyone banded together, the council was like, okay,
good,
calm down. And they never like tried to shut it down again.
So happy. That makes me. I hope Frank's not the murderer. That's going to be really disappointing. If that's where this is going, I'm really invested in his life.
He's not the murderer.
Okay.
So earlier that same year, 2001, the local residents had banded together and voted him the best grocer in the world.
Frank. That's totally not like.
It's not a thing.
That's not authentic at all. That's not. There's no factual basis there's to that, no but I love factual. It. He's probably not even the best grocer in like the area. No. There's probably some other like Frank in like another a slightly Frank. Different suburb.
But he'd been working there for 50 years then. So it must have been 1951 then.
Yeah.
That he opened the store. So
I love how that's the hill you're dying on. It's like what year the store
there's
started.
There's the maths. So Frank, or old Frank, yep. as he'd become known, was basically a living treasure. The shop was his livelihood. And at 87 years old in March 2007, he was still working in his shop.
Frank.
Every single day, 87. God love him.
He like loves work so much.
He loves it. He lives for it. I just love that. Something I miss about moving to Sydney is that kind of small town vibe. Mm. Like Newcastle is not a small town. Like it's not Stars Hollow from
Gilmore Girls. That's where everyone wants to live.
But it's still in areas has that small town vibe yeah. where people know your name and are just super friendly.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved here, I was really friendly with like everyone.
Yeah.
I went into like a 7-Eleven and there was a guy working there. It was late at night. And I'm like, how's your day been? Like chatting. And my friend's like, we left. She's like, why do you need to stop talking so much? Like, why do you talk so much? I'm like, I'm just being friendly. And he was a bit taken aback, but he answered me. He's yeah. like, oh yeah, busy. And, like, she was just mortified that I made conversation with the 7-Eleven guy. And I'm like, that's why Sydney is the way it is, because yeah. everyone just turns, like, rude, like, insular.
Yeah.
It was really weird. And even, like, I lived in different buildings where, like, you'd just say hi to your neighbour. Mm. It wasn't like, hi, can I come in? Mm. Just like, hi. And they just, like, would stare through me. Mm-hmm. I was just like, what the hell?
But I feel like I do that because my mum did that when I was a kid. Like, she's very friendly.
Yes, my mum's so friendly. And we grew up in, like,
we grew up in Sydney, but we grew up in, like, an area that was quite, not villagey, but just, like, that kind of thing where, like, you'd go ride your bikes on the street and, like, you knew all the neighbours and stuff. Yeah. Like, not all of them, but, like, the friendly ones.
Yeah.
And there was a corner shop with, like, a Frank kind of vibe yes. person.
Yeah.
But 100% I now do that. And my sister is the one who's always like, what are you doing? And talking. I'm just like telling people my life story. Like yeah. I'll go into like even like Cotton on the other day I went in and I bought some, what did I buy? Like these pajamas that I'm obsessed with. And then they were like, the person's like, oh, how good is this material? I'm like, oh my God, you don't even know. I'm so obsessed with it. I have like 20 pairs. I can't stop buying them. I'm super into them. Blah, blah, blah. Like going on some fucking story about the pajamas. She doesn't even care. She doesn't even know.
She's just making.
She doesn't even know what the pajamas are. She would, if you had to quiz her, she'd be like, I don't know. I was just doing what I was told to do by my manager by saying that the thing the person's buying is cool.
You know? And you're like, blah, blah, blah,
and I'm
blah.
Like, let me tell you my whole story about these in dot point form.
I like it though. And I feel like I started to change. And I remember like going home to Newcastle and I'd be walking mum's dog. And, like, someone would say hi to me on the street and I'd be so taken aback. Mm. Someone's like, g'day. And then I wouldn't say anything because I'd be, like, in shock. And then I'm like, fuck, I've turned into, like, an inner city Sydney person. So on March 2nd, 2007, a horrible crime had rocked the suburb of Cooks Hill. A short distance away from Frank's Ham and Beef, a local woman named Lily Wood had been murdered at her home on Dawson Street. So I remember her and her house really well because my mum worked on that street for, like, my whole life. And I was really familiar with the area. So the street was like one of the main streets of Cooks Hill. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Derby Street. It's kind of like Newcastle's famous, like, trendy street. It's like if you're going to visit there.
Yeah.
Like Chantelle in our native team was like writing a story about going to Newcastle. She's like, what's that street called with all the cafes? And I'm like, Derby Street. Yeah. That's the street. So Dawson Street is one street away from that. So it's quite
so it's
sought
still quite
after.
Cool and
yeah. And it has market. All these terrace houses and they're all kind of done up and have been flipped for like you know, exorbitant amount of money. But there was this one terrace house that was really run down. Like it hadn't been painted. Kind of look like it had never been painted.
It's very that's very Surrey Hills
yeah.
vibes. Like so how you'll like see like nice house,
yeah.
really old, weird house with like some yes. glass that's missing and a like yes. one of those weird green tarp things over it.
And that's exactly this house. And the elderly woman lived there and she was quite eccentric and like she was a bit of a hoarder and so she couldn't even fit in her house anymore.
Oh no.
Because it was all like papers everywhere, like what? Really like textbook hoarder. She had all these cats. People called her the cat lady. And she used to carry this glow mesh purse around everywhere.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah.
And she slept on the veranda, like it was one of those enclosed
yep.
terrace verandas, and she slept out there.
Mm.
So basically she had been found murdered on that veranda.
Oh, God.
And I remember like it shocked everyone. She was 88.
Okay.
And police presumed that was a robbery. So I actually thought that crime wasn't solved. And I originally planned to cover it in this episode. But when I started researching, I found out that about a year after her murder, a woman confessed to killing her was a robbery carried out by that woman and a man. And it transpired they were looking for drug money. So they were arrested and charged with her murder. But Frank, like the rest of the community, was really upset after it happened. So on March the 11th, so it happened on the 2nd. So on the 11th, the regular customer named Karen went into the store and said Frank was visibly upset about Lily's death and her funeral the next day. Karen told the SMH, he asked me if I'd had a lovely weekend, but he was still upset about the funeral and he couldn't speak.
Oh, Frank.
Which it sounds like that's a big thing for Frank because he was very friendly.
Yeah.
So on March 12th, Frank attended Lily's funeral. One of his employees covered the store that day until 3 p.m. and then he returned from the funeral. She left him to work the last couple of hours and close up. So she, I think I read somewhere she always did that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she started at 9. So yep. he was kind of alone in the store for just a couple of hours at the end start of the day. And a couple of hours yep. at the end. So at 12 minutes past 4, Frank served a female customer who later told police that at the time there was just one other person in the shop, a man with long curly blonde hair wearing a cap. Around 6 minutes later, another regular customer showed up to buy something and found that the front doors were locked. And that was super weird because it wasn't closing time yet.
Mm.
And like Frank was very like clockwork. Yeah. So he looked in the doors and he saw a man with long, he said dark hair and a cap, kneeling down, putting something into a green Enviro bag.
Oh no, he I don't said like this.
That he couldn't see Frank at all, the man. So then details here are a bit sketchy. So I'm just kind of filling in the blanks. I'm pretty sure that customer left when the doors were locked. And then at some point the doors were opened. And then at around 4:30, Frank was found unconscious by someone else. So maybe another customer. I'm not actually sure who found him. But he was partially concealed under some cardboard boxes next to the counter of his shop. So news of the attack soon spread around the local community and people stood vigil outside the store. But later that evening they were told that Frank had died in hospital.
I hate this.
I know, as a result of his injuries. So according to that Newcastle Herald article by Stephen Ryan, Frank had been savagely beaten with a large blunt object with several blows to the head, including a massive hit to the side of the head that they think was the fatal blow. The attack was so vicious that blood splatter was found meters away from Frank's body. What the
fuck? What's wrong with people?
And his face and shirt were covered in blood. I don't know who found him, but I feel really sorry for whoever it was.
I do too. But so I just horrific. Also just don't – I'm like such a savage
– no.
Like he wouldn't have been strong enough as a person to be a threat that you would need to savagely beat him to death.
I know. It's just like overkill.
Like whatever you wanted, you could at least just – humanely killing someone doesn't make any sense at all, but you know what I mean. Like there's levels to me of like fucked up murders.
Yeah.
There's like you shoot someone in the head where you take their life from them, which is still fucked, but
it's
they
like
didn't
impersonal
die.
And it's sudden.
And they wouldn't even know that it was happening.
Yeah.
Then there's beating somebody to death, which is so horrific.
In their own store.
Yes.
But when
they
their don't, life.
And it's not like he was like a, you know, 1 billion pound strong 40-year-old man who goes to the gym all the time. It's this frail old man. I hate this.
I hate it. So the cash register was open, which led police to initially believe that it was a robbery. But in Frank's pocket, they found $1,500. So if it was a robbery, they didn't do a very thorough job because he had money in his pocket.
That's weird.
And was also, why did he have so much money in his pocket?
Well, maybe he'd taken it out of the till.
So I was thinking maybe like he thought the person was sus.
Yeah, so he's like, I'll
like
just take
pocketed
the expense. You know when you take all the 50s or something?
Yeah. Police managed to track down and interview everyone that Frank served that afternoon, with the only customer who never came forward, the man with the long hair.
Sus.
Who was the last person seen in the shop. So police are basically, they've put together that he is the man who killed Frank.
Yeah.
And they think that the reason for the different hair colour is the windows were tinted, the door.
Right.
So the guy that kind of looked through briefly and saw the guy crouching down and thought he had dark hair, that might have been affected by the tinting.
Yeah.
Whereas the other woman was like closer to him. But because, especially that woman who was the customer, because she had no reason to be suspicious of anything, the man wasn't acting suspiciously.
Yeah.
She didn't, like, she only got a very quick look at him. So she couldn't really help with any other details. Police had no real leads and no real evidence and were unable to identify the customer. Even after they set up Strike Force Rhinan to look into the case, and later the same year, they announced a $100,000 reward for any information that could lead to police solving the case. But no one came forward and identified that man.
I mean, it's almost like the man, like there's no one in the shop that would identify him.
Yeah.
And if it was, it makes me think it's like a solo endeavor, not like a other people would have information about it vibe.
Yeah. And I don't think they had like a sketch or anything to go off really.
Yeah, so no one could have been like, oh, I know that guy, he's ex, because it was just like blonde hair and a hat.
So they sussed out, they didn't have CCTV of Frank's actual shop, but some buildings nearby did. So they published photos of 8 passers-by caught on the nearby Newcastle Workers Club's CCTV cameras. They put the pictures in the paper and online, not saying that they did it, but just hoping that they witnessed something and that they would come forward. They all came forward. None of them had any information that could help. So they'd been walking past around the time.
Yeah.
None of them saw anything that could help. So that Northern Star article by Nathan Jolly says that a Port Stevens man, so Port Stevens is above Newcastle, it's where Nelson Bay is, he'd been going around bragging about committing the murder. But when he was actually taken in and questioned, he was cleared. He actually had nothing to do with it. I don't know why you'd go around saying, oh, I killed an 87-year-old beloved man.
Yeah, very weird thing to brag about.
Not impressive. A mentally ill man had escaped a nearby mental health facility around the time of Frank's murder. And even though his driver's license was found in the store, he was also cleared.
What? It's weird.
Yeah, that must be, whenever I read that and there's not more details, I just think he was clearly alibied.
Yeah, like they were, he would have had to have a strong alibi to be cleared.
Like he was seen by someone that didn't actually have any connection to him.
Yeah.
So he physically couldn't be in two places at once, because that sounds pretty suspicious in itself. His driver's license was just lying there.
Yeah, but then it's also, it could just be a horrible coincidence.
Yes. So despite police believing it was a robbery gone wrong, the coroner at a 2012 inquest into Frank's murder didn't agree and delivered an open finding. So police actually went to that inquest saying, it's a robbery gone wrong. But the coroner just didn't think so because of the money in his pocket.
That's interesting though, because I still feel like if anything, the money in his pocket would hint to me that it was a robbery gone wrong.
But also, well, hang on. I'll keep talking and then we can
talk. Yes, sorry. I'm jumping ahead.
No, that's okay. So police had heaps of leads, but every single one came up as a dead end. In 2015, the Strike Force came up with a new theory, with Detective Sergeant Matthew Faber telling the Newcastle Herald, "While we believe that robbery gone wrong, in inverted commas, has always appeared to be the most likely scenario, we will consider and explore all possibilities, including that the incident could have been a deliberate attack upon Mr. Newberry." Which in itself is strange to me, and we can discuss that later. Despite extensive investigation, including DNA testing from samples found at the scene, as of today, 12 years later, the murder of Frank Newberry remains unsolved. But there is a nice little ending to the actual mystery. So a woman named Jenny Boswell worked with Frank for 27 years at Frank's Ham and Beef, and she took over the store after his murder, and it's still going. It's still there.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. The only
That Frank would have wanted that.
I know. Like, it was his pride and joy, and she's kept it going. And the only difference is she closes at 4, not 5.
Oh, Jenny, you angel.
Bless Jenny. She told ABC Newcastle, "This is a tragedy that people just can't get over in our town. To think that his life was wasted for nothing is just unbelievable. He went out of his way to do everything. I think that is what most people had seen in him. He was just always the perfect gentleman.
Oh, Frank, he was. He was the perfect so gentleman. Sad. So that's, he did not deserve to die that way.
That's all there is to it, but it's just like, it doesn't make sense to me for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
So the robbery is strange.
Okay.
Because he's 87.
Yeah.
If you wanted money, wouldn't you just go in with a weapon and demand the cash? Like, why do you need to kill him?
Okay.
This is my thing. Like, yeah. A lot. If someone came into me with a, I worked at little stores around here actually. If someone came in and was like, give me the money from the till, I'd be like, okay,
yeah.
Take the money from the till. Maybe you knew the person.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So he thought maybe he was like a regular customer because he knew everyone's names.
That's true.
So maybe in that way it was like an, like they took the opportunity because they knew that he had like a lot of customers during the day. Like he probably wasn't like he was making a fortune, but he'd always have money in the till. And in that area, it had just happened like 10 days ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two people had bashed.
I was going to say, I forgot what timing was between the her so and him.
Really close together. And that's why everyone was so rattled by it.
And that is weird and sus.
Yeah. So those people had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was with them, like the woman actually admitted that at the time she was high on ice. And like we have seen a few other cases where people act in like a rage, like they don't even know really what they're doing. So that could explain why the overkill.
Yeah. Because that's what I was going to say was absolutely like, I don't think if I needed money, like, and he's an old man, you just demand it with a weapon or, you know, you could easily push him out of the way.
Yes.
And get it.
Yeah. You could overpower him.
But, like, if you were on drugs and you were fucked up on the drugs and in a desperate state, there's the chance that you would go into overdrive and just do something really brutal and unnecessary based off just being mentally unstable at that time or influenced by that.
So I feel like that's probably a logical conclusion because the same thing happened with that woman and she said she just couldn't even really remember doing it.
Yeah.
Like she flew into this rage. But then there's the police saying it's a targeted attack, which I don't know if he means like it was targeted as if it'll be easy to get money from him because he's old, like a robbery. But it wouldn't be a targeted attack like someone wanted to kill him because like he's an old man.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, it's interesting though because cops don't usually – like the cops don't usually go – that route unless there is substantial reason to
so I wonder where but
maybe they mean
from.
Like you said like targeted like it say it was for drug money probably in a similar way to why the other woman was murdered of that person is easy to overpower and they probably have some money on them that I can take quick cash you know maybe that. I still lean towards the robbery gone wrong. It could still be targeted.
Yeah.
But I would still think that's not necessarily to do with Frank and more to do with his age.
Yeah.
The fact that it was a shop. Mm. He had a till, you know. Yeah. And even with the 1500, if it were in a sort of frenzied state, this guy was on drugs or something or like needed drugs or whatever the case was, he probably would just grab stuff from the till and not like
find a wallet
for all this other money.
Yeah, because someone pointed out, I think it was one of the articles I read, they were like, if it was a robbery, it really wasn't well thought out because it was such a busy shop. It's on quite a busy street as well. It's not like it's in some little side street. It's one of the main roads heading into the city in Newcastle.
Well, and that woman showed up literally a few minutes later. Yeah,
and there was another woman that, like her shop was like across the road. Like it wasn't like it was quiet.
Yeah, like a corner shop in a residential area in the middle of the day.
Like it was pretty brazen to do that in that spot. So it's like it wasn't a very well thought out robbery if it was. And I just think like this sounds bad, but when they were like a targeted attack, like they wanted to kill Frank, I'm just like he was quite old.
Yeah.
At the risk of sounding bad, if you want him dead.
You could just wait.
Just let nature take its course.
And
you know?
Like, why would you want him dead? Like, what? To have his shop?
Yeah. There doesn't seem
to be a backstory to that.
To be any motive there because he was so well liked.
There's this really fucked story on that podcast, Disgrace Land.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's one of the only ones where I was like, whoa, like, I can't believe I just listened to that. That is going to be in my brain forever. And it's about being on drugs. And I think he was on, it was a rap guy, but like a low tier, like a more, not a low tier, but like a niche subculture rap guy. Like someone that you'd know if you were super into like LA rap or something, but you wouldn't if you just. You
it
know,
wasn't like Tupac. Not like
Tupac or like Jay-Z. Tupac. What an old school. Like we could have just gone something more recent, but we're like, we don't know. Tupac. Anyway, and this guy was on a particular drug, and I cannot for the life, I'm botching this story, but it's like a particular drug that like is known to make you like basically lose your shit and lose your mind. And then he
PCP.
I think that's what it was. Mm. And he ends up stabbing his girlfriend, but then like pulling out her lungs, and they found him like walking in the street naked, like eating
part
of her body. But like he does not have any, like he's in jail, but he did not have any memory.
Oh my god.
Just completely blacked out, which is so fucking scary.
Yeah.
Like that you can just black out, but your body is still doing horrific things. That's like demonic.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure like when I was in church, they used to try and tell us that all drugs were demonic. Like demons like you're letting you or
demons in.
But sometimes I'm like, that one.
Yeah.
Just that one. That maybe one. And ice is another one.
Yeah, where you just kind of lose control a bit.
Like, there's so many stories of people that just, like black out, do all this fucked up shit and then don't remember.
In Bali recently that went into that weird, he was drunk and he went into that weird rage and like fly kicked the guy on the motorbike.
Yes.
And he was like, I've never done anything like this before. I can't remember it.
So weird.
And that was just from drinking.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary. I don't enjoy, like I love a drink. Well, RIP to me drinking. It's been a while. But I hate being drunk. Like I like to just, as our friend Maddie would say, have a bit of a buzz on. But I don't like feeling like drunk and out of control. And and when I do suddenly go, whoa, like I just said something weird or I'm making a weird decision, that's when I'm like, I need water. I need to go. And I'm usually like still enough of me is there where I can go, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've had too many wines because I hate the feeling. I hate the feeling of maybe that's the Virgo in me, but the feeling of being out of control like that, like that's not enjoyable to me. But I know some people it is.
Yeah. And there's also many, many people that can drink and do whatever and not fly into a rage and fly kick people in the head.
Fly kick or innocent motorbike.
But, yeah, it's just, like, fucked. But it makes me go, okay, it would make complete sense to me given there's stories like this around.
Yeah.
That this guy was either a drug addict who needed cash and was in a desperate state or was – and was still – you know how it's, like, really sad, but, like – deeply heroin or ice addicted or any of those real hard drug addicted people, it's like you've sort of cooked your brain to a level where even when you're not on the drug necessarily, not in the high, your desperation is like your reaction to being that desperate is extreme.
Yeah, it's like the tunnel vision.
Yeah, like it wouldn't surprise me if somebody in that state beat an old man to death even though it was unnecessary and he could have just stolen the money.
Taking the money.
It's not thinking logically.
Yes.
Not to excuse the behavior because it's still fucked, but like it, I can explain it. Like a sober, planned
robbery.
Yeah. You know,
probably have gone down differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's so sad that it happened to him.
I know.
I mean, it's so sad that it would happen to anybody, obviously, but I think, such a lovely man doing such lovely things in the community.
Yeah. Working
just
there
being such a shining light to everyone.
50 odd years.
To die like that's really sad.
56 years.
Yeah.
Working there and just everyone loved him so much. And just the close proximity to the bashing of Lily Wood as well. It was just really upsetting.
I wonder if that was maybe that was an inspiration.
I think maybe they were like, oh, well, they did that to get money. Like, old people have money. And it's weird with her. It's actually a really fucked story. The story about her, I read into it a little bit and was going to do it and then realised they figured it out. But what happened was she lost her glow mesh purse and these two people found it and took it back to her but kind of blackmailed her and said, well, we've found it. We want a reward. And she had no money. And she asked one of her neighbours for money to give these people and they only had $2.50 in their wallet, which would 100% be me. I never have any cash. So they gave them $2.50 and they were like, that's not enough. And they made her go to the bank with them and like withdraw money. And I think she did that. And I think they came back and that's when.
Right. And because she was she didn't have living much money. Alone and living on the balcony, it was kind of like she didn't have any
it wasn't security like
from them.
Robbing one of the people, like the rich yuppie families that bought the terrace next door, might have made more sense. But in their kind of head
thinking it was space. It worked once, so it'll work again.
So that was horrible. And then it happened to Frank too. And I just remember my mum being really upset because she worked around that area for like decades as well.
Yeah.
It was just really awful. There is a bit of a gritty underside, like I said, to Cook's Hill. There's a few types, as I would say, kind of walking around.
But that's like all these kinds just of like areas. Just like
Surrey Hills. Yeah. Where, yes, you can gentrify something up the wazoo, but there's still sometimes those people that still remain for whatever reason. Like there's a few housing commission places at the other end of Cook's Hill. There is that mental health facility that I talked about. Mm-hmm. My dad used to work there, actually.
Mm.
So that's kind of at the top end. So it's there's kind of surrounding places that means there's interesting types of people walking around still, and you can't just because you've decided it's now a sought after place to live.
Yeah,
you can't just like flush out people, undesirable people that you don't want there.
Well, it's also that thing, like you were saying about the her house, is you know, there are all these people like Frank who outright bought shops and houses back when it was not gentrified and not upmarket, and now they still own them, so they're still legally allowed to live there.
Yeah.
So unless you buy them out for millions, which I'm sure people try to do, but then you're always going to have people that are like, no, I like my area. I like my house. I bought it and I want it.
Yeah, I think people had tried to buy Lily's house and she refused.
She seems like someone that would have refused, which I kind of love about her.
She was staunch. She had like six cats. It's amazing.
Amazing.
But that's my depressing mystery. I don't think they'll ever solve it, to be honest.
No, but this is the shit thing with these kinds of you know, one-off random kind of attack, how I assume it to be.
Yes.
Of, you know, even like when we were doing Michael Griffey last week, where, you know, there's a lot of stuff that hints at, you know, potentially it being someone he knew. But once all the leads dry up, you're kind of down to like, well, if there's no one to come forward, it wasn't like a ring of people, even those, as we've seen with like the family and stuff, it's hard to get that out of people anyway. But if it happened in private,
You've if got people away didn't with
see
it.
Your face,
yep.
if there's no physical evidence left there and you didn't tell anyone about it, you didn't, you know, no one knew who you were.
Yeah.
That's the terrifying thing is that like you can get away with shit still.
Yeah.
Even with all our technological advancements, there are still ways to get away with murder, which is scary.
It sounds like they weren't, you know, they hadn't really thought it through and they still got away with it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have cameras in the shop because it was just Frank's ham and beef.
Frank.
And they did. And then they're just walking around Newcastle and it sucks.
Yeah.
It's like that story I reshared today, which was like all the serial killers that have never been caught.
Mm.
And it's just like so fucked that they get that satisfaction of, you know, being like, you didn't catch me.
Yeah.
And then they just got to keep living and Frank didn't get to keep living. It just sucks.
And it's like, I know he's old and, you know, I think it's the sad element is like, you know, he probably would have died within a few years.
Yeah.
He's pretty old, but it's how he died and just to die in pain and to have that horrible thing happen to you, such a scary moment before you die.
Yeah.
And not that anyone deserves it, but especially when you're a good person, you've done lovely things for other people, you've lived a life that was seemed quite honourable. He could have been a secret psychopath, we don't know. we don't know. Like, you know, the things that he had done and were reported, like helping other people with their shopping and, you know.
Just being nice.
Just being a lovely, friendly light in a community.
Yeah.
It's not, it just seems really it's unfair for him really to die that way.
For his life to be taken rather than just lived out naturally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it sucks. But, you know, that's me always with the downer cases.
Yeah.
Maybe next time I'll do something zesty.
Well, you did a zesty last time. You did the Hawkesbury River Monster. So everyone.
I did.
Everyone got a bit of zesty Josie.
But obviously if you know anything,
call
Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always. You know, we're just sitting here speculating. But if you're like, hang on.
I remember
curly
something.
Blonde hair and a cap. 12th of March, 2007. I just think that woman must be like kicking herself for like, but it's not her fault. But
amazing that she even remembered that. Yes. I don't remember anything from people in stores.
You just wouldn't on a normal, whatever it was, like Thursday Arvo. Like you're just not going to.
If he was mincing around with a knife, I'd remember him. But if he's standing around looking at the baked beans, no idea.
No idea. But that's it.
Bye.
Bye.